Today, President Obama outlined his proposals to reduce the long-term federal budget deficit, hitting back at the Republican claim that his call for millionaires and the very wealthy to pay more in taxes amounts to class warfare.
I reject the idea that asking a hedge fund manager to pay the same tax rate as a plumber or a teacher is class warfare. I think it's just the right thing to do. I believe the American middle class, who've been pressured relentlessly for decades, believe it's time that they were fought for as hard as the lobbyists and some lawmakers have fought to protect special treatment for billionaires and big corporations.
The president also proposed cuts to entitlement programs such as Medicare and Medicaid and to farm subsidies. His plan now goes to the bipartisan Congressional Super Committee. Their job is to come up with a deficit reduction plan of at least $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years. Let's bring in Gail Chadwick, Capitol Hill correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Gail, start with the tone. The president's base has been begging him to get tough, did he?
That is as tough as this president gets to date, and they are thrilled. The first responses I got to this were from people like MoveOn.org, who said, "We have been asking, urging Washington for months to get serious about that the country needs jobs, not tax cuts, and that millionaires and corporations have to pay their fair share." Those are the key words: fair, balanced, and best of all, veto. That's the word that the base has been waiting to hear, that this president will simply veto anything that does not increase taxes on the richest Americans.
While cutting spending. Well, let's get right to this new call for a new minimum tax rate for millionaires. Now, this would in effect replace the alternative minimum tax, which was instituted back in 1969-70 when it was discovered. This seems like such quaint history. It was discovered that something like 155 high-income Americans were not paying any taxes, just 155, and that started this AMT that required a minimum tax. But with inflation today, the AMT hits the middle class and also doesn't cover income from investments. Now, just explain how that plays its way into here.
Well, this is income from investments is taxed at a much lower rate, and this is something, oddly enough, on which there is some bipartisan support that tax reform broadly could be very helpful. Let's identify those aspects of the tax code that are not fair, that are not needed, that are redundant, and get rid of it, and use the savings from getting rid of some of these tax breaks that make no sense to lower tax rates for everyone. You're going to hear in the next few days a firefight over what the president said today. But don't forget that at the bottom, there really is a consensus here that by doing some work on the tax code, you can both get rid of egregious subsidies and lower rates for everybody.
Well, this is why this is being called the Warren Buffett rule, because he's, of course, the one who first came out and said, "Tax me more. I'm taxed at the same rate as my secretary." He's been saying that for years. But the response from Republicans has, their bumper sticker over the weekend, put forth by Representative Paul Ryan, who said, "Class warfare may make for really good politics, but it makes for rotten economics." Now, that's a direct quote. We Googled. That's a direct quote from editorials and politicians back in 1993 who said the same thing when then-President Bill Clinton raised taxes. And it's allowed Bill Clinton to step back on the stage and remind people that when he did that, jobs increased.
That's right. You're going to see something very interesting here. I think a re-look at that period, because it hasn't happened yet. We're still looking back at the Clinton era and saying, look at all the good things that happened in that period. But the question Republicans are beginning to raise is, is it growth or was that just a bubble? Was all of that the growth in that period the result of the fact that our houses were constantly growing in value and there were bubbles that Washington was aware of and didn't deal with earlier? Had they dealt with it earlier, we might not have had the consequences that we did. So this is, you're seeing a lot of doors opened here.
Yeah.
The next few weeks is going to be one of the most significant debates on the size and scope of government this country has had since the Great Depression.
Well, you mentioned,
and it's all up for grabs.
Well, and you mentioned what some of the comeback is going to be from Republicans. We're already hearing some comeback from Democrats who say there were, bubbles during the Reagan era, but also that you could say that there was a bubble, definitely a high-tech bubble that burst, but also it was a time when technology was created that created
right.
so many jobs. So we're going to be hearing some of this, but what else are you hearing? No changes in Social Security, as we said, a veto on any reductions in Medicare unless they come with tax increases. What's some of the other response that you're hearing today?
Well, I think the main Republican response is that these are phantom savings. If you look at the $1 trillion that's sitting there from cutbacks in ending the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Republican line has been, listen, we've already agreed to that. That's not a new cut. That's just kind of a fake cut. What we need is significant cuts on paper, and I think that's a line they've had all along, and they're going to continue.
Well, Gail Chadwick, the president's plan calls for $1.5 trillion in revenue increases, including taxes. This is almost double the amount of revenue increases that was on the table during that grand bargain that the president was trying to strike with Republican leaders. But polls do seem to show that voters are on his side. The numbers on taxing the wealthy, here we have a July Washington Post poll. 72% of those polled supported raising taxes on those making $250,000 and more, never mind millionaires.
Right. It's going to be a very difficult sell. I think the president, in a preemptive strike, the lines that you chose to share are exactly the point. You know, do we compare 50 million to 50,000, and is that really class warfare? So this is the president has tried to stay above this until today. Mm-hmm. And I think he, looking back on his experience with the grand bargain, I think he is doing what his supporters have told him to do all along. Don't negotiate up front. Don't give away too much at the beginning. And I think you can safely say he's given away very little in this initial speech.
Gail Chadwick, Capitol Hill correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, on the president's plan as he presented it today to cut the deficit. Gail, thanks so much.
You're welcome.